Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Now, the reason the term naked faith is we're stripping down what it means to live by faith. And really, we use the term simply because of the word naked. And Steve Moore, we thought, was going to have to say it a lot. And he's from the South, and he says naked. He does. And so we just thought it'd be fun to hear somebody say naked instead of naked. It's N-A-K-E-D, not N-E-K. But anyway, he's from Mississippi. God bless him. Or as I said last week, what Southerners would say, bless his heart. How many of you were here when how many of y'all know what it means to be, when a Southerner says bless your heart, they mean you're stupid. They're just really sweet about it. First time someone said that, well, bless your heart. I thought, well, aren't they nice? They're blessing my heart. And then really they're just saying you're stupid. But that's just that Southern people are kinder. They'll tell you you're stupid. They'll just be real sweet when they tell you. But we're really down, what we want to do, and I did last week, if you weren't here, please go online, download the message for free. You can watch it online. You can get a CD here. I talked to you about the mechanics of faith, the faith life, how it works. We specifically talked about the faith of Abraham, how faith calls things which are not present as though they already were. It's incredibly important. I have no time today to reiterate that, so please avail yourself to that. It's free. It's available for you. But today I want to talk to you about the prayer of faith, how to receive from God by faith. There's the life of faith, which we're all called to live by. We are called to live by faith and not by sight. What's that mean? It simply means this. You are to be governed by what you believe and not by what you see, not by what you feel, not by what you taste, not by what you have experienced or, by the way, not experienced. A person who lives by faith is governed by the Word of God. That's what the Bible tells us in Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. So what we endeavor to want to see happen in all of our lives at Victory is for you to learn how to be a person who learns to immerse themselves in the Word of God to the point to where your heart can become persuaded to what God has said about your circumstance. Then when you live by faith is when you let what you have learned, what you have had your heart full of, govern your life, govern the way you think, govern the way you talk, govern the way you plan, govern what you expect. Most people never learn to let what God says about them govern their expectations. It's called living by faith, walking by faith and not by sight. But the fact of it is, I want you to understand this about the faith life. Today, we're going to get into the prayer of faith, which is born out of a life of faith. And we'll get into that in specific. Please understand, the Bible gives us many, many different types of prayer. And they have different, if you will, rules or different scriptural guidelines for each different kind of prayer. For example, the prayer of faith, which you'll see today, is a one-time prayer. You never pray that prayer twice, and I'll show you why. But then there are other types of prayer in which you can pray. In fact, the Bible says one type of prayer, you should pray without ceasing. There's the prayer of worship and adoration before God. How many of you know you could pray that all the time? How many of you know there's the prayer of dedication and consecration? You can do that 1,000 times in your life. But the prayer of faith's not like that. And I want to talk to you about why. But here's what you must understand about living by faith. Faith, listen to me, does not cause God to want to do something for you. Faith does not extract something out of the closed hands of God. It's not what it does. Faith is a response to what God has already done in Christ. Faith can only operate where the will of God is known. Faith can only operate where God has already established His known will. If you don't know what God's will is in a given matter, you can't walk by faith in that area. It's impossible. Because faith only begins where the will of God is known. And so when it comes to the prayer of faith, meaning to receive from God when you pray, whatever you're praying for and receiving, it requires that you know the will of God before you start. And we could spend the rest of the time just on that one point. Most Christians do not know how to determine the will of God. In fact, most Christians think the will of God is a mystery. In fact, most Christians, if they do believe that the will of God is established, they think the will of God is established by their circumstances. rather than by what the book says. See, God has already done some things in Christ for you and for me. Faith is how you appropriate that which was already done. Well, let me give you an example. Many of you, and let me just say this, how many of you are thrilled to go to a church that desires to lift other people up? Isn't that a blessing? I mean, what a great place to be. But here's the deal. So many of you purchase gifts for families maybe in need, or maybe single parents, or maybe a family at a tough time this Christmas, and you gave a lot of thought. Let me tell you, when I walked in that hallway and I saw two or three bicycles, somebody didn't just go and say, well, here, I'll just give you a little trinket. Somebody went and bought a bicycle for somebody. I mean, whoever, let me tell you, you may be here. Thank you for doing things for others. Jesus said these words, when you've done it for the least of these, my brethren, you've done it for me. It's an incredible thing to be a giver. It's an incredible thing to be a giver. But here's the deal. That whole hallway is full of gifts. But if those people that have been designated that we're going to share our love with never go back and get them, if they don't receive, it has nothing to do with the fact that you didn't will them to have it. You've already given the gifts. They're already back there and they're ready to go. But they have to be received. Faith is the action by which you receive the gifts God has already given. What if the person you bought the gifts for came up to you and said, well, do you think those gifts are for me? You say, I know they're for you. I bought them for you. I purchased them with my own money. I spent my own time. You say, but how do I know if it's your will that I have them? I bought them. But how do I know you really want me to have them? Because I put them in a hallway with your name on them. Well, if they show up at my house, then I'll know it was your will. If they don't go back in that hallway and take them, they'll never receive what you have already given. And then I'll find Steve Moore riding a little bicycle all over the halls at here at church. There is the past tense of our redemption. Much of the epistles that you'll read, all the letters written to the church. If you'll take a little highlighter pen, go through your Bible, and mark everywhere in the epistles of the letters to the churches that is written in the past tense, you'll need a couple of highlight markers because you'll wear them out. Much of what you see written to the church is written in the past tense. Let me just take a few scriptures before we get to the prayer of faith. Because if you don't understand this principle, you can't pray the prayer of faith. Because most people think God determines what he's going to do for you when you pray is at that moment God decides yes or no. And there's all these religious things people say about God. Well, you know, the Lord always answers prayer. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. You got book for that? You got Bible for that? And I can tell you, you don't. That's just religious junk. My Bible says that all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen, or so be it. That's what the book says. That's what the book says. You mean that God's faithful to all of his promises? That's what the book says. That's what he said. Yet most people don't know how to appropriate the gifts already given in Christ. Look with me, if you would, to Colossians. Paul writing to the church in the region of Colossae. Colossians 1, look at verse 12. Paul said, he's actually praying a prayer. He said, I'm giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Who has qualified you. Who has qualified. Say, I'm qualified. Is that, what tense is that? Past tense. Who has qualified you to share the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued or delivered us. For he has rescued or delivered us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Notice that he said, he has qualified you. Notice that he said, he has rescued or if you will, delivered you. Notice that he said, and you have redemption. Most people are asking God to do those things. When the scripture says, when you came to know Jesus, all of those things were done in the past tense for you. And when you came into Christ, they now belong to you. So, well, I just don't feel like I'm qualified. You don't have to feel qualified. He qualified you to receive the inheritance. You don't qualify yourself. And when it comes to having needs before God, Most people, before they go to the promises of God, make their own promises. Lord, I promise if you'll just deliver me in this area of my life, Lord, I promise I'll do this, I'll do that. And you give your list of all the promises you make God. Is it fine and good to be dedicated to God? Absolutely. But God does not move in your life based on your promises, but on His. He qualified you. You don't qualify yourself in the kingdom of God. You can't. No matter how dedicated and consecrated you are to God, you'll never earn one fraction, not even a smidgen of the blessings of God. You'll never earn them because they don't come based on your goodness. They come based on His. They don't come based on what I've done for God, but what God's done for me in Christ that I've received and I walk in and I trust. You're qualified, the scripture said. Hundreds of times through the years, and I don't mean once or twice, I'd say hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times in 30 plus years, I've had people ask me to pray this prayer for them. Pastor John, will you pray that I'll be delivered from, and you fill in the blank. Now, here's the reality. Is it good to be set free from things that bind us in life? Absolutely. And I understand the context. But what most people are thinking, when I pray that the power of God will come into my life and deliver me from X, Y, or Z, whatever it might be, whether it's a habit, whether it's a sinful thing, whatever. But my Bible says you're already delivered. Faith doesn't go to God thinking that your prayer is going to initiate God to set you free. Faith says, Father, you said I've been delivered. Therefore, this area in my life has no dominion over me. And I walk by faith and not by sight. And I say by faith to honor my God in humility, regardless of what I feel, regardless of what I see, regardless of what I've experienced, regardless of what my family's experienced. I say what God says about me, I'm delivered in that area by faith. Thank you, Father. It's mine, I have it now. That's how faith operates. Most people, for example, let's just take a habit like smoking. Because I mean, obviously, that's a very difficult habit to break. And let me say this as well. You know, smoking's not a sin. Sin is a transgression of the law. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you can't smoke. But how many of you know smoking will kill you? And it's an expensive way to die. No, really, I mean, it will kill you. So most people, even those who smoke, really would prefer not to. But I'll tell you what, a tobacco habit addiction is, from what I've read, can be stronger than a heroin addiction. So people will pray this, and they said, Pastor, I've prayed 1,000 times. God, oh, deliver me from this. And I wake up and I have to have a cigarette. And what they're waiting for is a feeling to confirm that what God says you've been delivered from. So you want to know what you have to do to walk by faith? Every time you light up a cigarette, you have to say, this has no dominion over me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. He said, while I'm smoking? Uh-huh, so while you're smoking. He said, well, wouldn't that bother God? No, not at all. Because can I tell you something? God doesn't find out about your messed up stuff in your life when you tell Him. He's aware of it. How many of you know you tell God you messed up? He's, God, I'm messed up over here. And He goes, really? I was completely unaware. Faith acts in concert with the revealed will of God. And it talks like, it acts like what God said is true. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted. He made us accepted in the Beloved. Say it out loud, I'm accepted in the Beloved. Guys, we could spend 10 years on that, just that one sentence. Do you know you're accepted in the Beloved because of what He did by His grace? This will give, Pastor John, this kind of teaching will just give people a license to sin. No, it won't. Intimacy with God will set you free, not bind you up. The more intimate you are with God, when you understand your acceptance is in Christ, then you can take that which you've received and it will work out in your life. Walking with Jesus is not an outside-in imposition of religious dictates and rules. It is an inside-out life of freedom based on who you are in Christ, set free from the inside out. And sometimes getting the inside out takes some time. And a lot of that may depend on your past. Look, there are some of us in this room that have endured horrific things in life that are outside. We've learned to mitigate pain and deal with pain in 20 different ways that caused more pain. And we have pain upon pain upon pain. And we're asking God to move from the outside in through all those layers of pain. But I've got good news for you. Whoever receives the Son, the scripture said, is free indeed. That freedom's on the inside of you in Christ. You have been accepted and made accepted to be in the beloved. Verse 7, in him we have redemption. Say, I have it. So you shouldn't pray to be redeemed because you are redeemed. Redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of what? His grace. Not the riches of your performance, but the riches of his grace, which he has made abound toward us in wisdom and in all and in prudence. Now listen to this. Having made known to us, past tense, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Knowing the will of God is not a mystery. It used to be. Most Christians think the will of God is like some puzzle you can never solve. Like God is in heaven with anybody can do the Rubik's Cube, raise your hand. You could give me a Rubik's Cube and 2,000 years from now, I'd still be going, that's how most people see the will of God, like a Rubik's Cube. You can't ever know the will of God, but I'm just going to try hard. I'm going to want to, you know, kill somebody soon, but I'm going to try. No. My Bible says that because of Jesus, because of being made accepted in the beloved, because of having redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, that he's made known to me the mystery of his will. Do you know Paul also prayed that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding? Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father who has made you able to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's who you are. So I don't feel that way. Go to the head of the class. You walk by faith and not by sight. You don't have to feel this way. Faith doesn't work with the approval of your feelings. Faith works in the absolute presence of contradictory circumstances. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich or abundant in mercy. That's his desire to treat you better than you deserve. How many of you are glad God is rich in his desire to treat you better than you deserve? Ooh, that's a good thing. Ooh, that's good, good, good. Because of his great love, not because of your great love for him. Remember, is it good to love God? Absolutely. But we love him because he first loved us. If you don't know he loved you first, you can't love him back. Your love for God doesn't make God love you. It's God's love for you that gives you the enablement to love him. And Jesus said, if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. The key isn't to seek to keep the commandment. The key is to love him. Because Jesus said, if I love him, I will keep his commandments. Most people read that verse this way. Prove you love God by keeping his commandments. That's not what he said. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So the key is not to focus on the keeping of the commandment. The key is to learn how to love him. And you can't love him unless you know he loved you first. So again, let's get back to this. God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sin and trespass, made us alive together with Christ. Everyone say alive with Christ. For by grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, that is, together with Christ, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, wrapped up in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Man, that's a great way to live. I want you to get this. My Bible says that when Jesus raised from the dead, when you came to Christ, you were raised up with him. Theologically, when someone is seated, it is an indication of a finished work. Jesus died, buried, rose from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of majesty on high. That seating, if you will, is an indication of a finished work. And listen to what he said. You are seated together with him. That means all of the finished work of Jesus is yours. That means he raised you up together with him. He made you alive together with him. He seated you together with him. Why? So that in the ages to come, he might show you the exceeding riches of his grace wrapped up in his kindness toward you. Now listen, in Christ Jesus. Do you see the past tense of God's word? Do you see that these things already belong to you? Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has already redeemed us. Say it out loud. I'm already redeemed. From the curse of the law. How? By being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So that, or in order that, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now listen, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Everyone say, receive the promise. Say it again, receive the promise. Verse 29 said, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and you are, and the promised inheritance is yours. It already belongs to you. It's like the gifts in the hallway. They're already earmarked with someone's name on them, but the promise has to be received. Everyone say, receive. See, here's where precious Christians miss it. And I don't have time to get into the detail of Galatians 3, but last week I taught about it, about the curse of the law being basically fourfold: spiritual death, sickness, mental disease and torment, and poverty. That's all under the curse of the law. Do you know the Bible says that having your children go into darkness and not walk with God is under the curse? Do you know that? Do you know even having your spouse go away from you in their heart and ultimately even in a sexual relationship? Do you know that's called the curse of the law? Do you know you've been redeemed from that? Well, then, well, does that mean they're automatic? No, no, no. The promise has to be what? The promise has to be what? Received. 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 How? Through faith. Well, it's pretty important then to know how to walk by faith. Here's how most people determine whether God wants to meet their need. They ask God. Lord, we ask you, and whatever you fill in the blank, and then they kind of wait. Nothing. All right. Must not be the will of God. We ask him, he didn't do it. I guess we're done now. That's how most people pray. Anybody remember Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Anybody watch Rudolph? Remember when you had to wait all year to watch Rudolph? And now kids can watch anything all the time and it's not special. How many of you remember as a kid when Rudolph came on, you stopped your life. Rudolph's on. Once a year is your shot. You missed it. It's over. Right? How many of you remember Yukon Cornelius? How many of you never heard of Yukon Cornelius? Raise your hand in the house of God. Hallelujah. Bless your heart. Go watch Rudolph. What's wrong with you? You'd be an American not watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Yukon Cornelius was always looking for silver and gold. Silver and gold. Silver. Remember him? Okay, anyway. That's Frosty the Snowman. I don't know. One of them. Anyway, he would take his pick and he'd flop it up in the air and he'd go, and he'd pick it up, he'd smell it, he'd lick it, he'd taste it, he'd go, ah, nothing. He was always looking for evidence of silver and gold. He was mining. And that's how most Christians pray. They're like Yukon Cornelius. Ah, nothing. That's what they do. And then they rub some theology on and say, we've asked the Lord. And you see, sometimes God answers yes, sometimes no. This case, my dear brother, the answer is no. So in your difficulty, know that God is glory. The Lord be with you and also with you. Can I tell you something? Why is he with you? Is God with you to be a hitchhiker through life? Lord, I'm in trouble. And he goes, yep, you are. How do you know? Because I'm with you. What do you want to do for me, Lord? Nothing. I'm just with you. With you. My Bible said he's with you to deliver you. He's with you to deliver you. So, well, you mean God's going to deliver me? No, he has delivered you in Christ. And you have been delivered. You have been delivered in him. Galatians tells us that the promised inheritance is yours. It belongs to you now. But the promise we see has to be received through faith. And many are waiting for God to give the promise when God is saying you've got to receive the promise through faith. Right now in this room is wireless internet. It's going on all over this room right now. And as I get my handy dandy iPhone 6 out, right now, wireless is going through the room. Do you know that there's Christian music playing right now in this room? But if you don't have a receiver to play it, you can't play it. So I'm going to go to Pandora. Y'all know what Pandora is? It's pretty good, huh? I know about Pandora. Thank you, Jesus. All right, here we go. I got Pandora. And this is out. It's playing in the room right now. And let's see something from Hillsong United. That was in the room all along. Christian music in the room. This has been going on the whole time. I mean, while I've been talking, that song's been available. It's in the interweb world. But if you don't have a receiver, it just goes right by you. But faith is the receiver. Faith takes what belongs to you in Christ and calls it your own. Faith takes what Jesus purchased and receives it into your life. That's where the prayer of faith comes in. Look at Mark chapter 11. I said all that to get to this prayer. Because if I tell you about the prayer of faith and you don't understand this part of it, you'll miss it. Now, let me go back to this, what I've been using as a pretext throughout these series, talking to you about the healing of our son. So, and if you were not here, you're going to have to go back and get the stuff because I certainly don't have time to go into that story. But he was diagnosed, with autism, 18 months, everything turned off. And when he was diagnosed and they gave us, it was not a good prognosis. And so he kept getting worse. Every night, at least 20, 30 minutes, sometimes hour and a half, he would get up in the middle of the night screaming. And parents who deal with that, you know what I mean. And it's very difficult. But we knew that we were going to pray and believe God for the healing of our son. So we put the word of God in our hearts over some time, and God led us. We had a peace in our heart that we went to a certain meeting. We took time. We went to a certain meeting, and we had a certain minister that we just felt in our hearts was the way we should go, and that is to have a place where we were going to pray the prayer of faith. And this certain minister we went to, and he prayed, laid hands on Ryan, prayed for him. From that point forward, we began to operate in the prayer of faith. Now, here's what I want you to know. He got worse. He got worse for well over almost 2 years before we saw any change. Now, let me go to the prayer of faith. Mark 11, verse 22. See, these are things that everyday life stuff, guys. This is how you live everyday life. Mark 11, 22. Jesus said, have faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. I said, Jesus said, have faith in God. How many of you think you ought to follow Jesus? He said, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes in his heart that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, now he's talking about receiving in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. There is one thing the prayer of faith is commanded to believe when it prays. And I've asked this question of hundreds of people. When I go to pray for people and they're going to pray the prayer of faith, I'll say, now what does the prayer of faith believe when it prays? And they'd say that God's good. I said, well, God's good, but that's not what it believes. And they'll give me 1,000 different things. There is one thing the prayer of faith must believe if it is to be prayed properly. To pray the prayer of faith, you must believe that you received your answer when you prayed. It is a prayer of belief, not a prayer of sight. So the moment you pray the prayer of faith, based on the past tense of God's word, because you've got to know the will of God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And if you'd like to see the scriptures, I made those available. They're still on our website. 4 pages of scripture and confessions of God's word that we begin to say over our son in the face of absolutely contradictory circumstances over his life. Hands are laid upon our son. And can I tell you this? There is one response that happens after the prayer of faith is prayed that you believe you receive, and it is a glad confession of thanksgiving before God. It is this thanksgiving. It is simply this: Father, I thank you. We have it now. It's mine. I have it now. If that is not what you are walking from the prayer of faith doing, you didn't pray the prayer of faith. You've asked God for something, and that's fine. But the prayer of faith believes it receives when it prays, and then you have it. And so you stand in faith believing. So no matter what we felt and what we experienced, and by the way, this doesn't make you superhuman, doesn't make you bulletproof. I can't even remember the times when we would be speaking the word of God over our son based on the fact that when hands were laid on Ryan, Father, we thank you that the healing power of God went into our son. That power is affecting a healing and a cure in his body, causing him to be all things, and that you perfect all things concerning him. And we would speak the word of God over his life. Times we do that with tears because we'd just been up an hour with our son screaming. I'm not talking to you about, it's why it's called fight the good fight of faith. It is a fight to it. And I'd love to tell you I've won every faith battle in my life, but I haven't. We are growing in faith. Our faith grows. Our faith develops. The ability to be governed by what you believe is a developmental issue with all believers. So you say, well, Pastor, what do you think about the areas you never received in? What about those areas? Guys, I'm not gonna magnify the areas of my life where I didn't connect with God, where I didn't walk in those realms. I'm just gonna take up the next day and I'm gonna keep walking with God. Because by and by, this is all gonna be over anyway. And faith pleases God. I said faith pleases God. Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that comes to God, listen to me, must believe that God is and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You must believe. You must believe he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You don't walk by faith because you want something. You walk by faith because you are a child of God. He is God and you're not. And you humble yourself under his mighty hand to honor and serve God. I walk by faith, not to get something. So what if nothing ever changed with Ryan? What would you all be doing these many years later? We'd still be standing and walking with God the best we knew how, because it pleases God. And you walk by faith and not by sight. Faith takes hold of the realities of redemption that belong to you in Christ. Faith declares, I take it now. I make it my own, not based on my own goodness, but based on the works of Jesus. And you stand your ground. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Now, there's some people just say, well, that's not possible. I mean, if I don't worry, I don't need half my brain. Now, look, I understand. My family, we had championship warriors in our family. My mom's mom was a championship warrior. Every time it snowed, the phone would ring. Tell your mother it's snowing. Be careful. How many of y'all know it snows a little bit around here? Every time it snowed, she'd make, and back then it was a long distance call from Ohio across the state line to Pennsylvania, and my nanny could squeeze a penny till Abe Lincoln, he wept. But she'd make that long distance call because she was worried for my mother. Never did say tell your father. I guess she didn't care much about him, but anyway, no, she loved him. My dad's mom, instead of saying she loved you, here's what she would say. I worry for you. God knows. I go to bed at night. I think of my Johnny. I go, oh, God, I worry for the Johnny. Oh, I worry for you. That's not love. That's a disorder. My Bible says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But he doesn't leave it there. But in every circumstance, or the stuff that's causing you anxiety, and in everything, by prayer and petition, that means asking God. Now, how do you ask? In faith. With thanksgiving, make your request known to God. With thanksgiving, what's that mean? Father, I believe I receive it, and now I thank you. It's mine. I have it now. You don't make petition without saying thank you. How many of you are kind? If the waitress or waiter comes to your table, pours water into your glass, what do you say? Thank you. When you believe you receive something, the natural response is, thank you, Father. See, but I don't feel it yet. I don't see it yet. That's why it's called the prayer of faith and not the prayer of feeling. Now, let me wind this up by showing you where Jesus did this. How many of you remember when he raised Lazarus from the dead? And Lazarus was sick, and word got to Jesus, and he was not in the city where Lazarus was. And they said, Lazarus is sick, and he's dying. And then here's all Jesus said about it. He simply said this. He said, this sickness will not end in death. That's the last thing he said about it. And then he ignored it. Finally, they come to him and say, look, Lazarus, he's dead. Jesus said, all right, let's go. And, you know, and I'm sure the guys around him are thinking, you're a little bit late on this one. We told you 4 days ago, dude's dead. He's graveyard dead. This is bad. I guess we're going to go to the funeral. They get there. Lazarus' sister comes out. She's crying. Said, Lord, had you been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He said, if you'll believe, you'll see the glory of God. Then he gets to the grave and he tells him to take the stone out the front of the grave. And his sister said, Lord, by this time he stinks. He's been dead 4 days. Stuff starts to happen to the body. And he's saying, Lord, you're gonna mess this up. Listen to what Jesus said. John 11, verse 41. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, now listen, I thank you that you have heard me. Is he asking for anything present tense? What's he saying? Father, I thank you that you have heard me. When did he hear him? Jesus said, this sickness will not result in death. Once Jesus said that, it was done. Yeah, but he's dead. Jesus, didn't you say he wouldn't die? He said, no, I said, this sickness will not end in death. Now, he died, but it ain't over yet. And he said to the Father, listen, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Notice what Jesus did. He said these simple words, Father, I thank you that you heard me. That's what the prayer of faith does after it prays. And that's what we did for a period of well over 2 years before we saw any change in our son. Father, we thank you that you heard us. That's why the prayer of faith is a one-time prayer. Because if you don't believe, listen, let's just make it clear. If you believe that you received when you prayed, would you ask for it again? Yes or no? Yes or no? No. So if you're asking for it again, it's an indication that you don't believe you received when you prayed. So the prayer of faith is prayed in such a manner as that you must have a persuasion in your heart as to what the Word of God says. And then when you pray, you believe you receive that whatever you're asking for according to the Word of God. Now let me wind up with this. You've got to know what this book says. It's why coming to church is critical. It's why coming to church every fifth week won't make it. This is a life and death place, guys, this planet we live on. That's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You've got to make your spiritual life first. Jesus said it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's why it's so important for you to get to go through our growth track so that you can get the knowledge of God in areas of your Christian life. You can begin to serve God outside of yourself. Do you know that we just, this weekend, we just did, we have a program called Life. It's a curriculum that we do, and we're going to be launching it again, and we'll give you more information about it. But we just finished the retreat yesterday. 200 or so plus people went through the retreat. Incredible. And that whole curriculum is about helping you undo yesterday and walk in the, oh, it's incredible. You say, well, I'm too busy for that kind of stuff. Come here, just you and me. You're too busy. I don't have to, you know, look, I have a life. I have a life. I mean, really, I'm going to spend like a week, 12 weeks, I'm going to spend a night of that with other people. I mean, for God, I mean, come on, I have a life. I have important things, like cheerleading practice. I have important things, like watching CNN or Fox News. I mean, that's critical. Listen, we fill our hearts with all kind of news, and that's fine. But, buddy, there better be a consistent way you put good news in your heart. So I don't understand this faith thing. You know, we have a whole curriculum called Faith Life Training, and it's pretty in-depth. And when we launch small groups I think they launch end of January, early February, you could take Faith Life Training and you could immerse yourself in these things. And in 12 short weeks, you can have an understanding and in-depth knowledge of the Word of God you don't have heretofore. And you know the only thing that's going to change it is you. Grace and peace, the Bible said, are multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. God won't do it for you. You have to make a decision to evaluate your walk with God. This is where humility comes in. That you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He exalts you in due time. You put the Word first place in your life. You put spiritual things first place in your life. So I'm not a really spiritual person. You don't know what you are yet. If you're not a really spiritual person, that just means you're a really carnal person. Carnal means this body ruled. And can I tell you, all of us have been body ruled in places of our life, haven't we? Anybody ever been body ruled? You haven't? Anybody married? You've been body ruled, I promise you. Anybody have kids? Ever think you're going to kill somebody? Come on. But you don't have to live that way. You can grow up spiritually as a Christian. You can learn how to believe you receive when you pray. And you can learn how to stand. And here's the awesome thing. I'll tell you what, it is awesome to fight the good fight of faith with other Christians. It's awesome to be in a church where people aren't going to beat you up but stand with you. Going to fight life through together with you. And we'll fight these battles. And you say, well, Pastor, what happens when something doesn't go the way we prayed and planned? You know what? We're going to gather around. We may have to weep together. That's why the Bible says, weep with those that weep, rejoice with those that rejoice. I'd love to tell you that everything in my life has gone exactly as I've seen in the Word. It hasn't. But let me tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not backing up for this little bit of time I have on earth. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to put His Word first place. I'm going to humble myself under His mighty hand, and I'm going to put Him first. I'm going to walk with Him, and I'm going to see the glory of God in the land of the living. Amen. And so are you. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for Your great grace upon every heart and every life. Thank You for that part of the service when Pastor Steve was here and praying over people. I thank You for Your manifest presence abounding in this room even now. And I thank You that we truly can walk by faith and not by sight. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, I want to make certain that you have the opportunity to know Him. I didn't ask you if you're religious. I didn't ask you if you're a good person. Those are all wonderful things. I didn't ask you if you're a member of a church. That's fine. But none of those things will get you heaven. Jesus said there is a heaven, and Jesus said there is a hell. And when we die, we go to one or the other. So if you're here this morning, you'd say, Pastor John, I don't know what would happen to me if I drew my final breath and went into an eternity where I would spend it. Please know that church membership, church sacraments, baptism, confession, communion, you can name them all. None of them will make you a Christian. Only by receiving Christ. No church, no denomination, no sacrament of any church, including this church and any sacrament herein, can make you right with God. Only by receiving Jesus Christ as the Savior of your life. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here and you want to give your life to the One who gave His life for you, I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church, in fact, will pray that prayer out loud and together with you right where you're at in your seat. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. And we're going to believe God with you. And Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And you're about to have your life changed to the glory of God. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, you say, Pastor, would you please include me in that prayer? With every head bowed, every eye closed, right where you're seated, would you just lift your hand up real high where I see it, and I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. you've not yet raised your hand, say, Pastor, include me with those many that have. I've not yet raised my hand. I can see you're not here to embarrass me or single me out, but I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I've not yet raised my hand. One last moment. You say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One last moment. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Listen, thank you. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Your greatest days are ahead of you. You keep coming back to church. You keep getting the Word of God in your heart. Your best days are in front of you. Pray this out loud where you hear it. Say it out loud where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God, and my sin is washed away. I am heaven bound, and I confess boldly, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. As you're about to give them a hand, let me ask you this. As you give them a hand, give Last Christmas a hand with them, would you?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.